The Old Testament lesson for the Feast of the Transfiguration of our Lord is written in the book of Exodus, the 34th chapter. When Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tablets of the testimony in his hand, as he came down from the mountain, Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone because he had been talking with God. Aaron and all the people of Israel saw Moses, and behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come near him. But Moses called to them, and Aaron and all the leaders of the congregation returned to him, and Moses talked with them. Afterward, all the people of Israel came near, and he commanded them all that the Lord had spoken with him in Mount Sinai. And when Moses had finished speaking with them, he put a veil over his face. Whenever Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he would remove the veil until he came out. And when he came out and told the people of Israel what he was commanded, the people of Israel would see the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face was shining. And Moses would put the veil over his face again until he went in to speak with him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The epistle is written in St. Peter's second letter to the church, the first chapter. But we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For when he received honor and glory from God the Father, and the voice was borne to him by the majestic glory, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased," we ourselves heard this very voice born from heaven. For we were with him on the holy mountain, and we have something more sure, the prophetic word, to which you will do well to pay attention, as to a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Knowing this, first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 17th chapter.
Glory be to thee, O Lord.
After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John, his brother, and led them up a high mountain by themselves, and he was transfigured before them. And his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. And behold, there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. And Peter said to Jesus, Lord, it is good that we are here. If you wish, I will make 3 tents here, one for you, and one for Moses, and one for Elijah. He was still speaking when, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said, This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. When the disciples heard this, they fell on their faces and were terrified. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, Rise and have no fear. And when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. And as they were coming down the mountain, Jesus commanded them, Tell no one the vision until the Son of Man is raised from the dead. This is the Gospel of the Lord. Jesus was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. And behold, there appeared Moses and Elijah talking with him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Please be seated. Well, a blessed transfiguration to you, dear ones. What a wonderful day, what a glorious feast it is. Today we celebrate something that frankly defies all comprehension. It is truly beyond our grasp. Today we celebrate that for a moment the curtain was pulled back, as it were. The veil was lifted. And Peter, James, and John, they saw the awesome glory of the morning star that had dawned on them on the mountaintop. They saw his divine light. And together with Moses and Elijah, they all witnessed the transfiguration of Jesus. They came to know the majesty of God in a way they never had before. In a way they never had before. That's what I plan to unpack for you today. And whatever else they may have experienced on the mountaintop in the transfiguration, they certainly, certainly had every reason to rejoice. And so do we. I'd like to draw your attention first to the verb that's used in our text to describe our Savior's face when it was transfigured. It's a form of the verb of the word lampo, which means to shine or to give light. It's where we get the English word lamp, of course. Jesus' face shone. His face shone. It gave forth light. And in this we see the full beauty of what we call the hypostatic union on full display, that both Christ's divine and human natures are united in his person. And even more, that the fullness of his divine majesty has been communicated to his human nature. You can think of it like this, like a rod of iron being placed into a forge, into a fire, and the iron taking on the attributes of the fire, namely light and heat. The fire communicates this to the rod, and it loses nothing of itself, nor does the rod of iron, and yet it takes on more than what it was before, more than its natural qualities. This is what we see. This is what we see. The majesty of Christ's divine nature communicated to his human nature. And this is not, dear ones, this is not just a nice-sounding exercise in academic theology. I can guarantee you that all the men on the mountaintop that day, they would not have thought that. I can assure you of that. It was not just nice-sounding abstract fluff. Not for them. Christ's radiant body on the Mount of Transfiguration reveals, in fact, what Adam was like before he fell into sin. But when he was adorned with that princely raiment of innocence and glory from God himself, this is what man was, dear ones. This is what man was. But sin defiled him and darkened him in his very being. It rooted him itself in his nature and divested him of his princely glory that he had from God. I want you to think about this too. Adam and Eve became the only people to walk the earth that knew the glory that they had before they fell into sin. Think about that. They knew what they were before, and they lived some 900 years after the fact. What unbearable agony that would have been. And to know that they had plunged the whole human race into the darkness of their sin. They had defiled the whole race by what they did. And every one of us, if we're being honest with ourselves, we know when we would say that the light of God's law has shown us the darkness of our sin and how we have been defiled. We have seen in ourselves the defiling passions within us, how they are unclean and very, very dark, especially when contrasted with the glory of Christ on the Mount of Transfiguration. We all know it, and they did too. All the men standing there on the mountaintop knew it. But when they saw, dear ones, when they saw the metamorphosis of Jesus, what was shown to them was that the ancient darkness and defilement of sin had been driven away in Jesus, in his nature, his human nature. It had been cleansed by the holy light of his divinity. And as I said before, they came to know the majesty of God in a way they never had before, in a way that showed them what all men in him will be in the future. Moses and Elijah looked on the transfigured Christ, and they could be glad that he fulfilled the ancient mystery foretold through them. They had both ascended, as a matter of fact, the holy mountain, both of them, Moses and Elijah. They had both ascended the holy mountain before and had seen the divine glory. But they had not seen, they had not known his human nature. That they did not know. Peter, James, and John, by contrast, had known the human nature of Jesus very well, but they had not yet seen the fullness of his radiant splendor. That they had not yet seen. And so there they all were, standing in the awesome glory of Christ's holy light, Moses and Elijah as princes of the Old Testament, Peter, James, and John as princes of the New Testament, Christ there in the midst of them, the giver of both, and the one who fills both with his glory, the one who shines brightly and came not to receive glory from men, but to give us his glory, to exchange it. This same one who was transfigured would then go to the cross and take our sin upon himself and die and be raised again for our justification, so that what he is by nature, we would become by grace. Dear ones, think of what this means for you. Think about this. Through your baptism, you have become mystically united with this Jesus, with the transfigured one. Your sins are washed away, and the light of the world has come into you, into the very depths of your being. Think of that. And his very body, the same body that was metamorphosed before the holy apostles and prophets, that same body given into death on the cross and was raised again, will be given to you today in the Lord's Supper, the very same body. And what does this mean for all of us who abide in him, but that we will share in the glory of his transfiguration in the day of the resurrection? That is our inheritance as the sons of light. These are not just empty words. In the transfigured Christ, you see your glory. What is coming for you? This is our future, reigning with God in his kingdom as the sons of light. This is what's coming. And believe me when I tell you that whatever you're going through, whatever you're struggling with, whatever has afflicted you, both now and beforehand, it will all be worth it, all of it. St. Paul says it will not even be worth comparing to what's coming. You might be thinking, well, that's, you know, that sounds great and it's easy for you to say, Pastor, but you don't know what I've been through. You haven't experienced what I have. You haven't suffered like I have. But consider what Jesus has suffered for you. He thought it was worth it to suffer agony beyond all telling for you, to have you and to bring you into his glory. He thought it was worth it. Dear ones, the transfiguration of Jesus reveals our future in him, eternally basking in his glory. He himself being our light. Thanks be to God, now and always. And to the same Jesus Christ be all glory, honor, and dominion into the ages of ages. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.